Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Cruise Control with Jonathan and Christian Cruz, only on MSL Radio.
Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Cruise Control with your hosts, Jay Cruz and Chris Cruz. Chris Cruz, hey, what's up to our people?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Welcome to another great episode. We hope it's going to be as exciting for you as it is for us. So let's begin, Jay. Let's get this started.
All right, we're going to start off with Serena Williams. She was on her way to have a Highlander Grand Slam. Can you believe that? She is so epic as a female tennis player, or even just a tennis player in general. She's a lot better than most tennis players. She's awesome, man. She's been winning this entire year. What do you got to say about that?
Well, I mean, I expected nothing less from her. Personally, I think she's the best female tennis player in the world right now. She was ranked number one for a reason. I mean, I just think she's good in general. She plays hard. Yeah, sometimes she has sloppy play, but she's very clutch. So she always comes through in the end. Well, that's, you know, most of the time anyway, she comes through in the end. But, yeah, she's a great player, yeah. And I think it would have been pretty cool if she would have gotten the Callender Grand Slam.
She was looking to win her fourth consecutive major title of the year and the 22nd major title of her career. So, you know, this was, you know, her competing in this tournament is pretty big, you know, trying to win a Callender Grand Slam.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would have been cool if she would have gotten it or if she gets it or whatever, but I guess we'll have to
and a calendar year. And just for our fans who don't really know what a calendar year Grand Slam is, it's when someone wins all of the four major tournaments within a given year, meaning the Australian Open, the French Open, Wimbledon, and the U.S. Open in one calendar year. And then, you know, it's very hard to do that because you have to win every single one of them. Of the major tournaments, and you know she was on pace to do that, so it was looking good for her. But I got some bad news for you guys. She just lost in her match, which takes her from winning the calendar year Grand Slam.
Boo! Damn, she lost. I was just about to ask you if you were aware of what happened to her today, because I know she played earlier. But I wasn't sure if she ended up winning or if she didn't. So I'm guessing she lost from what you're telling me, which is unexpected.
She lost.
Everyone thought she was going to win the whole thing.
Exactly. She was upset after she beat her sister last match, where we all thought she was going to win. But she was upset by Roberta Vinci in the U.S. Open semifinals.
Wow, that's a huge upset to me. Like, I didn't even know. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not a great, I don't know much about tennis, like, in general. But I know that Vinci was not supposed to beat Serena Williams. And I know that that's a major upset. So who knows what's going to happen in the finals. I know that a lot of the finals now have probably lost its, like, wow factor. Because, you know, the whole point was trying to see if Serena was going to win the Grand Slam, the calendar Grand Slam. But since she's eliminated, yeah, people are still going to watch, especially tennis fans who are just interested in watching tennis. But I still like to think that a lot of, like, the hoopla over the finals was all about Serena Williams. And now that she's been eliminated, it's not going to be as interesting or entertaining, in my opinion.
Yeah, she was two match wins away from tennis history. And, I mean, that's, like, bittersweet. Like, she must be happy of how well she did. But she has to be disappointed in not getting that calendar Grand Slam. I mean, come on. I mean, you know it. When you're a professional athlete, you want to be the best. And to have it, like, slip away from her so close to completing it must be, like, excruciating. Like, oh, that's just the worst. It's like no one wants to get second place because you're so close to winning, and then you just end up losing.
I mean, you have to feel for her. Like, I feel for her. I was like, come on, Serena, like, we were all rooting for you to get this. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. She lost. She lost. She played poorly. I didn't see the match, but she must have not played to the best of her ability. Either that or her opponent just stepped up her game and was like, you know, she's playing Serena Williams. She's going to win this. But, you know, when you have nothing to lose, you play to the best of your ability. You play without any pressure on you. So, you know.
Exactly. It was Serena's first loss in a Grand Slam singles match this year, and it ended her bid for the first calendar year slam since 1988. So since the last time we've seen it was in 1988, and we would have seen history again this year. We could have seen it, but it didn't pan out that way. So Vinci ended Williams' 2015 major streak at 26 straight matches, and going back to last year's U.S. Open of 33 overall.
Wow. You know, it's funny because I'm watching the match right now as we speak, which was recorded earlier, and I just see, you know, Drake is over there supporting Serena Williams, so I just want to point that out, that Drake was at the match supporting Serena. Just want to throw that out.
Because they're dating.
Yeah, so I just think it's pretty cool. You know, he's there just to show some love for her, help her, like, get this W, but, you know, didn't, even with Drake there, you know, it didn't happen.
Yeah, and after the win, Vinci said, called it the best moment of her life, and she said, it's amazing, like a dream, and emotional. She was pretty much emotional during her interview, and she said, I'm in the finals. I beat Serena. For me, it's amazing. It's an amazing moment. Incredible, yes. So now Vinci is going to the finals. So all Serena had to do was win this and win one more match after this, and she would have made history. But she didn't pull it off. I'm sure she's disappointed. For the American people, for Serena, for the Grand Slam, she just said, today's my day. Sorry, guys. Meaning that she just didn't have it. It was her time to lose. But, you know, we all wanted to see history. Even if you're not that interested in the sport, you always want to see history, and you always want to see something that hasn't been done or hasn't been done in a while. So I'm sure a lot of people are disappointed, even if they're not that into tennis, because it's something that's pretty amazing, because it's something that's so hard that doesn't come around often. You want to see.
Yeah, it's like watching a no-hitter or a perfect game in baseball.
Exactly. It's the same concept. And, you know, I wanted to see this. I wanted to see her make history, you know, get her name in the record books. But, you know, it didn't pan out. And I still think Serena Williams is the best tennis player, women's tennis player in the world, and one of the best tennis players in the world. So, you know, I have faith in her. And she'll be back next year and, you know, still number one.
Yeah. So, Jay, what we got next? What's next on our list of crazy topics for today?
We're going to be talking about the Marines. The Marines conducted a test of mixed gender squads against all male squads. And they conducted a test to see which squad performed better. And reading the article, they said that in almost all categories, the all-male squads outperformed the mixed-gender squads. That cannot look good for you know, women who try so hard to be in the Marines and who had to fight, actually, to be given permission to fight for their country and to get into the Marines or to be on the front lines and stuff like that. And this test just doesn't look good. And I'm sure they're not going to take it, like, too seriously, but they have to be doing it for some reason. So they conducted the test, and the all-male squads outperformed the female and male squads, the mixed-gender squads.
Yeah, I'm sure, like you're saying, it's not going to be taken, you know, super. But the test was done because it mattered. They wanted to get some results on it. And you're right, it doesn't look good for the teams that were of mixed gender with both males and females. I mean, it could have been a number of things. Maybe they didn't communicate well, but what people are really going to look at is that the women were on the squad, and maybe now they assume that the women aren't up to the task like the men are, which I don't think is – I mean, some of the test proofs, the evidence are there, but I still don't like to take that. I think women deserve the right to try to protect their country and do everything that men can do. But now this huge test experiment that was done is making it look bad, and I hope it doesn't take like a back step for women who are trying to, you know, get the same rights or the same, like, liberties or as the men. So, yeah, this story is, you know, hard to hard to hear, and it's sad to hear, because I would, like, personally, I was hoping that the story would, you know, tell me that the experiment meant that everything was equal, that there wasn't much difference between the two groups, between the mixed and the full men one, but from what the article was saying, it wasn't the case at all. So it's a little disappointing, but I'm not going to take it, you know, to the extreme with it. Like, that's going to change everything, but it's a little disappointing to hear.
Exactly, because in 2013, the U.S. military lifted its ban on women serving in combat. And then shortly after, the Marine Corps, which is the article that I read, began what it called an unprecedented research effort to understand the impact of gender integration on its combat forces. So they did the experiment they called the Ground Combat Element Integrated Task Force, in which 400 Marines, 100 of them female, trained for combat together and then undertook a simulated deployment with every facet of their experience measured and scrutinized. So they just, like I said, got a mixed gender squad versus male squads, and they had them do different, like, tasks, and overall, the reports of all the male teams and crews outperformed mixed gender ones on 93 out of 134 tasks evaluated. All male teams were universally faster in each tactical movement on lethality, the report says. So anything lethal and tactical, the all male teams were a lot faster in completing the task than the mixed gender ones. Because, you know, the women had to, you know, talk about it and, you know, see how to get it done. Honestly, I don't think that's what it was, but I honestly don't know what to say about these results. I mean, apparently, from what this says, the all male squads just, you know, outperformed them. So I don't know how to rationalize these.
I mean, there's no way to rationalize it. You have to take what it says. I mean, I'm sure that maybe the results are true, but I'm not gonna say that women are any less qualified to perform the same tasks as men. I think they are. They're just as qualified. But when it comes to serving our country and doing jobs that are very important, you got to go with the best candidate or the best candidates possible. I'm not saying to rule them out, but you take the women that are the most qualified to do these tasks, and you sent them to go do them, whatever tasks that they may be. But you take the best candidates, regardless of gender, and you send them to do the task that you need of them, and then everyone else, they do different tasks. That's my personal opinion. I mean, that's the only way I can see it. And I think they should take the top female recruits and then have them redo the test with some of the male recruits and see how that goes, you know?
Yeah. Well, how they said was the all-male infantry squads had better accuracy compared to the gender-integrated squads. The all-male infantry squad served weapon teams, engaged targets quicker, and registered more hits on targets as compared to the mixed-gender integrated infantry. The all-male squad teams and crews, gender-integrated squads, teams and crews had a noticeable difference in their performance of the basic combat tasks of negotiating obstacles and evacuating casualties. So, for example, when negotiating the wall obstacle, male Marines threw their packs to the top of the wall, whereas female Marines required regular assistance in getting their packs to the top. During casualty evacuation assessments, there were notable differences in execution times between all male and gender-integrated groups, except in the case where the teams conducted a casualty evacuation as a one Marine fireman carry of another, in which case it was most often a male Marine who evacuated the casualty. So they're pretty much trying to say that even the obstacles that with the mixed gender teams, the men pretty much did that, where they were on par with the all male teams, it was the men that did that task and not the female. And the report also said that the female Marines had higher rates of injury throughout the experiment. So, you know, all these conclusions or, you know, things that they discovered, it's pretty disheartening, you know, because women had to fight to get on the front lines and, you know, get the permission of the Marines or military to allow them to be in combat and on the front lines and things like that. And, yeah, it's just one test, and you can't put too much behind this one, you know, evaluation. But it does, you know, it was pretty consistent throughout the evaluation. So, I mean, like you said, I think they should pick the best, no matter of gender. But I do think they need to give women more of a chance because they fought to – they should have the same rights as men, and they fought to, you know, be able to fight for the country and be on the front lines.
Yeah, I agree. If you have the heart and determination to do so, then I feel like if you're qualified, then, yeah, you should be on the front lines regardless of race, gender, whatever. So that's all I have to say on this matter. But, you know, I think it's about time that we head to commercial break. So, guys, we'll be right back pretty soon, right after this commercial break. Don't miss it too much. See you in a little bit.
Interested in being a sports writer or a lifestyle writer from Miami Sports and Lifestyle? Or how about being that next great radio personality? Hit up at 305 Sports and Life on Twitter for more information.
Interested in advertising or sponsoring with MSL? Working for MSL as a writer? Even having your own radio show? Or do you have more of a business mind and want to bring your talents down here to South Beach? That's right. MSL has a big-ass help wanting to sign up. Writers, radio personalities, marketing directors, website managers, positions are open. Apply today and make this money. Miami Sports and Lifestyle, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a campaign underway. Let's give Miami the exposure that it deserves via Miami Sports and Lifestyle. MSL to ESPN. Love it, know it, support it.
Attention Miami, MSL is looking for writers for the Miami Dolphins, Miami Heat, Miami Marlins, Florida Panthers, Miami Hurricanes, and Florida International University Panthers. If you are interested, contact Stephen Err at Stephen_Err@yahoo.com for details. Join the MSL team today.
We at MSL have a new blog site underway, miamisportsandlife.wix.com/MSL blog for all your content surrounding Miami sports. Official site coming soon.
This is Andrew Powell, host of the Andrew Powell Show and the CEO, founder of Miami Sports and Lifestyle. As you all know, I talk about marijuana a lot on my show. I do consider myself an advocate for the legalization of marijuana. And why? Because this is a medicine that helps so many different diseases, including cancer. And if it were legalized, it could eventually form a cure for cancer. And we've all been affected by cancer before with family members. We need to legalize medicine because not only does it help out cancer, but it helps out so many different diseases. So many. We need to legalize cures. And not only that, but legalizing marijuana would decrease black market control and crime and increase tax revenue to give this country's economy a boost. And we all know we need that. This is a beautiful plant that should have never been made illegal in the first place. But because of racism, lies, and greed over the almighty dollar, it's now illegal. And patients and peaceful marijuana smokers suffer everywhere, even in 2015. We need to legalize medicine. We need to legalize peace. Let's legalize marijuana 2015.
The views expressed by Andrew Powell are of Andrew Powell and Andrew Powell alone, and not the company and staff of Miami Sports and Lifestyle.
The Andrew Powell Show brings you a fresh sports talk show that stands out above the rest. Tune in Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m., only on MSL Radio.
Play Action Sports League. They are signing up teams for the end of summer adult flag football leagues. You can either go Wednesday nights under the lights at On Brister Park in Coconut Grove, or you can go Saturday mornings at Coral Gables High School. Does your team have what it takes to be a champion? For more info, you could go to www.playactionsports.org, or you could call 305-397-5632. Once again, that is www.playactionsports.org, or you could call 305-397-5632.
You are now listening to Cruise Control with Jonathan and Christian Cruz, only on MSL Radio.
Well, welcome back, guys, to Cruise Control. Welcome back from commercial break with your host, Jay Cruz and Chris Cruz. We hope you missed us because we missed you guys. Hey, what's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. I mean, that was a long commercial break. I know you guys were, like, dying. You're like, why do they even have a commercial break? That just takes away from the awesomeness of the show. But the commercial break is needed for us and for you guys. You know, you take a little break and it makes the anticipation grow. So we're back, ready for the second half of our show. I hope you guys are excited because we are. So, Jay, what do we got for the second half? What's new? What's going on?
What we're talking about, guys, is real-life superpowers. Now, I know it just always seems like we go back to superpowers, whether it's comic books or real life or movies or whatever. We always go back to this topic every now and then. But I just find this topic so interesting, especially when it can be, you know, applied to real life. And, you know, there's some crazy things that most people can't explain, like these real-life superpowers. I was reading an article about six people who have had, like, six powers that people can't explain. So let me just give you guys an example of a couple of those things. Now, Chris, just before I do that, if you had a real-life superpower, what would it be? Name it.
That's really difficult because I want to say all of them. But most likely, probably either super speed or teleportation. What about you?
Yeah, same probably goes for me. One of the two, because when you can get someplace faster, that's always just more awesome. That way you don't have to waste all your time, and you can just go back and forth real quick, depending on what you wanted to do. So either one of the two is always good for me. And when you see them in movies or cartoons or whatever, they always look super cool. So now getting back to the real-life superpowers, whether, you know, depending on whatever powers they have, I'll give you an example. This guy, Ingo Swann. He has a power called remote viewing. And what remote viewing is the ability of a person to describe a remote geographical location up to several hundred thousand kilometers from their actual physical location. And it's not just one person who can do this. There's been multiple people who've been proven to do this, which the CIA and NSA have conducted experiments with Stanford University, where they've done scientific studies on people who say they can do this. And it's a parapsychological phenomena has lasted more than 2 decades, which they can't explain, and I'm sure they wouldn't give us the details on the experiments and how they went, especially if it was the CIA who conducted them. But they said that multiple individuals were able to describe distinct objects that were located in a separate room and other remote physical locations from where their body was, where they weren't, and they could tell what was in that room from, like, kilometers away. What do you think about that? That's pretty cool. It's pretty much just like projecting your consciousness outside of your body to the other location so that you can see what's going on over there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't know if it's like this, but it sounds like it's like watching TV but in another location, like you're watching another area and you can describe things there, or just sending like your subconscious out into a different location to describe what's in another area. So it's like, it's kind of like seeing somewhere else despite the location you are, which is pretty cool. I mean, it sounds mad useful. So, I mean, if I had that, I wouldn't be complaining. I would use it all the time. I'd be like, yeah, guys, I can do that. It's so awesome. What do you guys want me to see? Oh, you guys want me to see what time the movie starts? I don't need to look it up online. I'll just go, you know, check it out. Cool.
Exactly. And, you know, as reported by a publication in the journal Scientific Exploration, one of the study's participants, Ingo Swann, which is the person that I said at the beginning, was able to successfully describe and view a ring around Jupiter that scientists had no idea existed at the time. But he was able to tell them that it was there, and then they found out that it was actually there. So by using his power, he was able to tell them that there was a ring around Jupiter that existed that they didn't know existed.
If that's true, you know how far he must have even viewed that? That's ridiculous. Like, I don't know if you need a practice to do this, because if it's real, that is crazy. Because I assume all of these techniques, or if these abilities, if they're real, they take a lot of practice to get used to and develop. So, I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. What else do we got, Jay? Are there any other crazy cool abilities?
Yeah, some guy named Uri Geller and psychokinesis was his ability. He's a psych he's a physicist, and he was responsible for holding a number of sessions to test the validity of psychokinesis. Moving objects with the mind is what it is. And these sessions, attendees were taught how to initiate their own PK events using various metal objects. So pretty much what they said, they used PK, and they were able to bend metal objects, mostly spoons, was what were they being applied to. And they would just use their mind to bend the objects. And there have been also reports of individuals, mostly children, being able to teleport full physical objects from one location to another. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've never seen this. I've never heard about this. But if that's real, that's pretty cool. It's only a matter of time before they can teleport themselves, because once you can teleport an object, I don't know how they did it or how they do it, but that must be insanely difficult, because I could try that for a year straight and never get that to happen.
There's this other guy, moving on to the next power, Stephen Wiltshire. He was diagnosed with autism at the age of 3, and he's an artist who draws and paints detailed cityscapes. But what people consider his superpower is he was able to observe a cityscape for a couple of seconds and was able to go back and draw the entire cityscape by just remembering it after just seeing it for a couple of seconds. So I don't know if they consider that like super memory or whatnot, but he was able to accurately represent and draw cities just by seconds of looking at them, which is incredible. And they look exactly like the city landscape.
See, it's crazy how your brain works, or how some brains work, because he was able to see it once, maybe twice, and he was able to accurately portray the entire like city and its landscapes in a well-drawn painting, picture, whatever you want to call it. Like, that is insanely difficult, first of all. And just because he's able to do it, you know, I don't know how his brain works and how that happens, but that is pretty interesting. It's pretty unique. Like, that's why these are considered special abilities, even though, yeah, it might be not, like, crazy, like shooting ice or shooting fire or whatever, but it's pretty interesting because no one can do this. So the fact that these individuals can do interesting things, they are superpowers and they're pretty cool.
There's this one guy, Wim Hof, who people consider Iceman. He's able to control his body temperature. He was submerged in ice for almost 2 hours without his core body temperature changing at all. So didn't change one bit, and he was able to control his body temperature stay the same even though he was submerged in ice. He was even able to climb Mount Everest in nothing but shorts, and he resisted altitude sickness and was able to control his body temperature and just made the entire climb in nothing but shorts. So they could call him Iceman because he got ice in his veins because he can control his body temperature. Also, moving on, we have Daniel Tement. He recited the mathematical constant pi from memory to 22,414 decimal places in 5 hours, 9 minutes without error. So he had super memory as well, because he was able to calculate pi without making a mistake. And you know how long pi is. I mean, these people are crazy with what they can do. This is incredible. And like, to think how people can do this, it has to be something in the brain that, you know, in the subconscious that lets us use a little bit more of our brain or whatnot that allows us to do these sort of things. Whether you believe it's a hoax or not, it's crazy.
My personal opinion on the matter is that maybe it is possible. I just feel like these individuals have better controls of their bodies and their brains and the way their body works, and that's why they're able to do these things. Some of them are just born with different, like, innate weird abilities, but it's pretty cool. All of these abilities that these people have, they are real, are pretty cool, and they're pretty interesting. And maybe in the future, more of us will be able to do things like this. I mean, we are going to evolve sometime later on. So when we evolve, I hope we all evolve with superpowers. And that's my final thought on this.
All right, guys. Well, now it's time for our last thing for the day, our rap recap. That's usually how we like to end the show. So I'm going to start it off. You're saying it's impossible. Well, watch it be done. Six examples of real-life conundrums. people with special abilities do exist, from teleporting objects or even projecting their consciousness. Now we move on to the Marines, who have recently undergone some testing. They tested all male squads against a mixed gender one, and the all male squads are second to none. Now let's talk a little bit about tennis. And when we talk about tennis, we have to talk about the best. Serena Williams is about to win a Grand Slam, which is no surprise to people with eyes, because you will soon realize she is on top of the list as the best female tennis player to ever exist. Well, that concludes the end of our show, and that's all we got, so it's time to go. Thanks for listening, guys.
Now shut up and drive.